Aaron Armstrong. Guy Falcon.
Here.
Catherine Goodwin Funes.
Here.
Frank Hay.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Stan Karofsky.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
George Palmer.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Here.
Nathan Bull.
Here.
Under C, approval of the agenda. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education approve the agenda.
Motion.
Could I make a motion to amend the agenda so we can go into executive session after public comment? For contract. Personal contract.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a motion.
So that was to agenda, to amend the agenda.
Amend it, agenda. Add a brief, should be brief, not too.
Yeah, it should be more.
Very brief.
Executive session after public comment. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those abstains? Okay, agenda has been changed and accepted. Item two, the public comment. If anybody would like to make a comment this evening. Thank you. We'll move on to our executive session.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And this is for the contractual.
Yeah.
So be very brief.
Where are we going to?
The music room?
Yes.
Conference.
Items. First, to begin with, we did receive information today from Tetra Tech that the Excel project has received final approval. So we're good to go with that project. By way of quick schedule, bid documents will be made available by April 1st. Okay. There will be a pre-bid walkthrough on April 7th, with bid opening scheduled to be on April 29th.
So they have 2 weeks to come up with a...
Right, they get the walkthrough, and then there's
a bid request,
and then bid opens on the 29th. So that date of the 29th may or may not be relative equal value to everyone, but I'll get closer to knowing the time when we get closer to that date and inform you in the event that you want to be present for bid opening. Sometimes that's done, and I'll let you know when the bid opens will be. Okay? I had the opportunity to attend a musical production, Beauty and the Beast, at the Shazia Music Theater. I brought the program. I don't know if Elvis had a chance to go, but I'm taking just a moment of Mr. Nathan Bull's time, because I'm sure he's going to cover a little bit as well. But the lights had barely gone on, and the curtains had barely opened, and I'll be darned if he's not in center stage doing this thing right away. So he played the part of, I won't say a mute prince, because he had no words in the first part, but he certainly had a number of theatrical pieces to entertain us with. But that's being multitasking as he is. That wasn't his only cameo appearance. He appeared several times more throughout the play. I wanted to catch Nathan earlier, and I'll ask him if you can think of all the other students from our district that participated, Nathan, sure. Maybe in your section. You can comment on who those folks were. So again, nice job.
Thank you.
Outstanding to watch as you go. Quick note, two quick items. This morning at the high school, we initiated an action consistent with our emergency plan guide. It was very, very minor, but I wanted, in case you've heard of it late, a student in the school experienced a fainting episode in one of the hallways. So and in the course of recovering from that, experienced an anxiety attack over what just happened. So as a result of the student's disorientation, the high school issued a certain code word, which basically meant keep the kids out of the hallway so we can attend to the student and then safely escort him or to the nurse's station. And that was done. But it went uneventfully without a ripple in the water, but in the event, a day or so from now, you hear about that, that's what it was. And my last comment, on April 3rd, we will initiate, again, an early release drill with our K-12 student population. If you look at the district calendar, you'll see that date has been marked for quite some time. That is a date we will release our students 30 minutes from their normal exiting time. So it's really a chance for us to test our departure times when we say go. You've got to leave the building just to make sure the kids have a routine and are safe about it. We also get a chance to test our bus response to leaving earlier unanticipated. Now, of course, we'll have notified everybody affected with the drill, so they'll be ready to transport. So that one, it will be just kind of like I call it a baby run. Later in May, we're just working out some of the details at the safety committee meeting, not to steal any thunder, Leonard. But later in May, we'll be scheduling a very similar event, only it will be get to our safety zones and then come back to school. So we'll get them from here to our locations, do our work, and then get them back to school to test out all of the personnel and all the plans that have been drafted over the last 7 years. So a little bit of heads up on some things coming.
Any other questions or comments? Business manager report.
This evening before the school board meeting, we had the audit committee meeting, which met with the internal auditor, Carl Safebart, that went over the corrective action plan for his risk assessment. We spoke about that a couple times now. We have gone all the way through the corrective action plan. The audit committee members, at this point in time, would like to bring that corrective action plan forward and discuss the remaining items that require board action. Discuss that with the board at some point in time. In addition to that, Carl had indicated he was going to come out next week to do some testing on the corrective action that we've already made. So items that were in the corrective action plan that we've already taken action on and have begun a different process. He'd like to come out next week and spend about 3 days going through those changes and testing them for accuracy and accountability and internal controls. So I expect to see him in the district next week. And as far as the other items that the audit committee want to address with the full board, I don't know if you want to have them chime in now or that's something to come up with your additional items to discuss. Other than that, I have nothing else to report.
No, this is a good point.
Which
to bring that in.
Yeah, well, the thing is, just a brief synopsis. The easy things are taken care of. The things that we thought might be contentious or something that's really going to take more minds than we are to decide what we're going to do, because some of them aren't easy fixes. It's a policy thing. So all of those will be coming forward to the board. The business manager will be bringing them forward specifically. You already have them. But you haven't indicated which ones they're going to have to review.
I think if you'd like, what I could do is in the report that I've already sent you, I could highlight so that it's easy to see the items that are remaining that might require board action and resend out that packet.
I wouldn't expect to discuss it now for the time limitations, but as student accounts, extracurricular, and all that, making sure that's tight, is that part of it?
Well, one of them is, the school store.
There's
two, but that's one example is it's gray areas.
What you do with one, what will happen to the other.
Okay, thank you.
So what I'll do is I'll highlight those items and through the superintendent get those out to you.
Okay.
So that they're more visibly easier to see.
Quick question, when will he be back to give us a...
When we ask him.
You mean a full board report?
A full board report on his findings for the T
next week.
Well, whenever you want him to come back. If you'd like for him to come back, I can arrange it when his testing is done. He could come to the full board and present that to you.
Would that be an appropriate time to have those items discussed too?
After.
If that's what the board desires.
Well, I'd like to do it at the same time.
That's
the point of where I'm going with this, is if we could combine the two so we ask him here once instead of having to come back.
Because basically, he'll be telling us whether or not what we've done is correct, is corrected action actually works. Right. So that'll be part of that whole thing.
So, yeah.
And we should notify him. That's specifically, that's one of the specifics that we need him for. So, because he said it's kind of a unique situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that he might have to do more research or whatever.
What about the end of next month? It won't do next, well, the next meeting, too early.
I think we should, we'll go with his schedule.
Yeah.
And when he can fit it into a board meeting, we'll add it to our agenda in one of our presentations. So I know he's quite busy, so it's easier for him to just give us a, that's okay.
Give us his options.
His options. But I'll work in his urge. Any other questions?
Yep, just a couple things. All of the sophomore students and many other high school students recently attended North Country Model UN, and I talked about it at the last one, at the last board meeting. North Country Model United Nations is the full name, and that's the debate conference that they had at NCCS, and Beamontown came away with many awards, over 10, I think. So that's one of the extracurricular groups that definitely is at the top in the entire county. I think we always come out strong with that group. Also, the peer connectors, the junior peer connectors and upcoming sophomore peer connectors recently attended a leadership conference at Clinton Community College to prepare themselves for next year's mentoring of the freshman class. So they're also getting ready for next year. Nothing else, well actually, I guess I'll also note, the other Beamontown students involved with the production in Chazy were Miss Grinberg Funes's daughter, Lauren Grinberg Funes. Nick Trombley was in the orchestra. Mr. Mike Nestoriak, the band instructor, was in the orchestra, and Morgan Dubray was also in the guest. So the and Mrs. Yeddo from Cumberland Head Music Department. She was no. And that's just about it. I'm going to be meeting with Mr. Vachette in the next week or two just to discuss a few things that I feel I should discuss with him before I bring it to your attention. Just minor things. Some improvements to the high school, some changes. And lastly, I guess this is a question, I don't know if this is the proper time to ask, but I guess I'm asking the Board of Education if there's anything that you would like me to address to the student body or get from the student body to just, if there's anything that you want me, because I know that the year's coming to end quickly. I wasn't sure if there was anything that you wanted me to ask their opinions on or anything.
In the past, we've had basically small projects for our current member to take back and gain information for us. So anywhere from graduation to lunch piece. I don't know if any board members have.
Yes. Yeah, voting to make sure that somehow through student government, or I don't know what the mechanism is, usually every year the student board member or student council is involved in making sure that kids are registered. They are now
18.
So
mm-hmm.
They can vote.
Yep. As far as like in the district voting?
Yeah.
The for the budget.
For the budget.
And for the budget. And the referendums okay. That are on. They're 18, they can vote. Yeah, it's really kind of an exciting time.
A lot of them, this is the first time they vote.
Right.
Yeah.
It might be nice if the students were allowed to give feedback for the year. Things that they thought worked well and stuff like that.
Worked well, didn't work well. Listen.
Yeah, it didn't work so well, and things that maybe even suggestions for improvements. You know, you never know. Good ideas can come from many places.
So that might be better than a questionnaire.
Okay.
To work on.
I'll try to figure something out. Thank you.
Maybe a week.
2 weeks, not board meeting.
Thank you for asking.
No problem.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Item four, minutes for the Board of Education. Let's hear about the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education.
Motion.
Second. Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstained? Noted. Motion carried. Resolve the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the Operations Committee held on 3/10.
Motion.
Second.
Just one minor correction. Those minutes actually showed I was present that day. I was out of town that day. I was not at that meeting. I just wanted to.
I amend my motion to accept the corrected minute.
Yes, excuse me.
Any other? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstained? Noted. Motion carried. Under new business, CSE recommendation is on the school superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendation stated 324 with the addition of your page printed out tonight.
Motion.
Move it.
Second.
On the first page, you see a name?
No. Is there a name?
Yeah.
Not a full name, but a half.
There was a, yeah.
No, it's a two.
Distinguished?
It's to be removed.
Make sure these are turned into me.
And I have another question, and I don't think that's going to be a deal breaker or anything, but on the new sheet that we have, there are some 08 dates.
That's my question.
So I'm assuming that this child received those services and that what we're getting is the amended to include new things from the March 24th meeting ending at the end of this year, so that they are already receiving the 08 services and these are now being piggybacked on, so that now they have a full IEP.
Yes.
But can you,
yeah, but this particular single sheet item was an emergency meeting, actually district meeting on the meeting today, which is why it's coming so late, but it does reflect
previous services.
Yeah, previous and
active. Okay, that's what I thought.
You're absolutely right.
Civil service
probationary appointment will be from 4609
to
10509.
Motion.
Second.
10-5,
oh,
that's a change.
Yes.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
That was
Richard and Richard.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Now I can say welcome aboard.
Board members have been here before, but yes. Again, congratulations and welcome.
And under
I'm on the right on that.
This is the designation, signatures, of checks. Resolved at the Board of Education. Do
does designate Mary Lavalley Blaine, District Treasurer, to sign all checks for district during the 2008-2009 fiscal year, with Ronald Clancy Jr. acting in her absence.
So moved.
Second.
Leonard, and Richard, thank you. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Bills? Motion carries? Under C, resolve that superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education the following permanent civil service appointments as indicated.
Move the list.
Second.
Questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Bills? Motion carries? Under D, resolve that superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education the following spring athletic positions for 08-09 school year effective 3/17/09 as indicated. There's two listed.
Move the list.
Richard, Steve? Questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Bills? Motion carries? Resolve that superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education the following substitute appointments beginning with the date indicated.
Move the list.
Second. Thank you, Richard, thank you, Steve. Questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Bills? Motion carries? Resolve that superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approve the letter of agreement with Christine Moore, teacher of the visually impaired, to meet the town central school district, to provide tutoring services for not more than 2 1/2 hour sessions per month, as indicated in students' IEP at a rate of $41.43 per hour for the remainder of the 08-09 school year.
Motion.
Second.
And that is 1.5 hour as printed.
It's 2 1/2.
1.5 hour sessions.
You said half hour.
Thank you. Big difference. Big difference. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Bills? Motion carries? Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education appoint the following civil service probationary appointments as indicated.
Motion, list.
Richard, thank you, Steve. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Bills? Motion carries? Under miscellaneous, resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education the following athletic mergers for the 2009-2010 athletic season.
Move the list.
Just have a question.
Yes.
Is this presently going on right now?
This year?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. These are spring.
Okay.
Yes.
All the spring programs that are occurring.
Spring programs and the year programs.
Okay.
What's the same? Well,
no. Actually, no, probably
year-round programs.
They're for next year.
Yeah.
2009. Oh,
cross-country.
Yeah.
My question is, yeah, the programs that are ongoing.
Yeah, the girls hockey just got
done. Current mergers.
Yeah. We've never done okay. Cross-country ski before. I think that's a new merger. We've done it before.
Last year.
Yeah.
This
we did do it last year.
This year. We did this year.
And girls hockey is the same thing as last year. It's just a simple merger. It's not any. Who's responsible for transportation? I'm just kind of curious for the Saranac Lake. That's a long. Is that do we supply a bus for that, or is it parents' responsibility?
I'm well, quite sure it's all self-transport. Yeah. We did that thing a couple of years ago that sure allowed the sports to self-transport.
There's no change from previous years.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Same. No. Motion carries. Resolve that the Board of Education set the hours of the annual meeting for qualified voters for the Beacon Town Central School District of the town of Beacon Town, Plattsburgh, Chase, Zeno, Oklahoma, from May 19, 2009, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Motion.
School.
So, excuse me.
Second.
Second. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So we found out it was legal to move it early.
Yes.
Good.
I would request when we advertise it, we gotta do advertising, can we make a point to advertise it that this is a change in the hours? Not just list the hours, but actually say, please note the new hours so people will not think they have until 9 o'clock at night to vote and show up at 8:30 or 8:50.
Why was there a change?
Because a lot of people came at lunch and it wasn't open.
Prior to lunch, a lot of people are showing up at 11 o'clock.
I think it's a good change, but.
What I mean is why, okay, I understand the lunch hour. Do you think that it's gonna be a problem that we don't keep it open until 9?
No.
We don't have a lot of people morning after 8.
I don't think it's a problem, I just wanna make sure people are aware of it upfront.
It's 11 o'clock.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Note that we stress the fact these are new hours. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Opposed? Motion carries. Resolve that the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policies.
Motion for the list.
List?
Second.
I've got some.
Questions?
Questions, comments, that kind of stuff. I gotta switch back to my other old minutes I had. Are we gonna do those one at a time again?
We're gonna go through these as needed.
As you need to bring up ones you want.
Okay, because I have nothing on the first two if somebody else wants to talk about those two.
Anybody have anything that they want to report on the first two? Third one.
Hold on here.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I thought we had to organize.
It just takes time.
I just got one.
With Booster right here, is that the one?
Booster organizations, next, the next one, okay. So I was just concerned in that last, second to last paragraph, it's got down the last sentence, this, okay.
First sentence.
First sentence, I'm sorry. A representative of the organization should first meet with the superintendent. The Booster Club regularly, at some points in time, does every meeting, once a month, will donate money into the general fund to buy some, and that's gonna be, create a lot of meetings, extra meetings to the, for the superintendent to attend, or to meet with someone from the Booster Club if we are gonna hold that to the letter. In the past, it's always gone through the AD, and I think that's functioning quite well. I don't know if we need to mention that the superintendent needs to meet with the representative.
Can you write superintendent or his designee?
We never turn it down.
Yeah, sure.
Can we just say that the Booster Club will make their donation known via the athletic, to the superintendent, the athletic director, prior to the donation again?
I'm sure the superintendent can come up with some good verbiage for that.
On the spot.
I mean, he's, well, we'd love to have him at every meeting, but I don't think that's necessary.
Well, this is only the first reading anyway, so.
Can you leave it as his designee? Be the AD?
Yeah, except probably AD, or designee.
Yeah.
Good. That'd be better, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't need that little trivia stuff to do. You'll cut that out.
Well, especially if it's work, then it's.
Yeah. Someone calls you up and donates $120 for basketballs, and you're gonna go through that.
Okay.
And the way it works on the Booster Club then is that these requests always have to come from the coach first. The coach has to initiate the request.
Right.
Then the Booster Club votes on it with the input of the AD. You know. So it's not.
Getting some vibrations of a different thought, which would be perhaps superintendent or AD. Reason being that there's a music Booster Club that obviously doesn't have an AD connection to it.
Right.
So in that case.
This isn't just for the athletic booster.
Then that could cover those that are not the athletic.
Right.
But even in those cases, would you rather have a designee cover it for you?
It does.
Are you not comfortable with that?
I think that's going to be pretty rare. How often does that happen?
It's pretty rare. We had one occasion in the last couple of years.
They came to the board for money. They came to the board for money, so.
Right.
So you'd be right here anyway.
Give it back.
Okay. As appropriate, superintendent or athletic director as appropriate, and then Ed and I.
You'll just tell him, that means you.
We figure out which one is the right one for this case. Most of them are going to be him, at AD, and then there may be a rare time or two, that's why.
I could see the reason why they want to do it, because, you know, I don't know.
Recognition.
Yeah, but no, I'm thinking maybe they want to donate money for something you don't want to accept, you know, like, I don't know.
Come on.
Lacrosse sticks for the new program or something like that, or, you know, a new pipe organ for the auditorium that we have to install. You might not want to take that donation, you know.
My best words on that are superintendent or AD as appropriate.
Yeah.
That would help.
Okay.
Yeah, because if something like a pipe organ came up, then you have to refer that to you.
And then take it back to us.
Yeah.
That brings us to the sports relationships with the non-partisan sports.
Okay, next one for you. You got the floor.
Relationship with non-public schools. I didn't have anything to say about that one.
We don't either. No.
Communications among individual board members. The second paragraph, I had a question about the video conferencing. I'm fine with having action, deliberation, and all that by means of video conferencing. I think we do need to avail ourselves to all means of technology that we can use to simplify our lives, but when it comes to voting procedures and that kind of stuff, I just feel strongly that that should be done by members that are physically present. I know that's the way state and national government does it.
It's probably a state law.
That's what it says right here, that this, it says voting now.
Yeah, it's changed. And that's why the school boards have brought it forward for us to review. But you still have to.
I'm sorry, what has changed then?
The actual voting, and that's why that has changed, the video conferencing. There is a movement to bring it forward for the vote.
To be able to vote at a video conference, is that what you're saying?
Through video conference.
Oh, okay.
Right now you can't. And this doesn't allow. You still have to have a quorum present physically.
Have a quorum physically.
To vote. Yes, it does. So, yeah, voting action or deliberation by a board may only occur at a meeting during which a quorum of board members has physically convened.
Or
convened by email.
I don't like that clause.
I don't know. Yeah. It's got to be physical. Yeah, I don't think
we can change. We've always had physical.
You don't have to be here. Five can be here and four can be at telescreens.
This is
all problems.
No, you were always here.
It's not a required policy.
No.
It's just a recommended. The brief history of the concept is that open meetings law has found groups that want to expand how to be open, have open meetings. And one of the suggestions they're promoting was that school boards adopt this particular.
I'm all for having an open meetings, but I think only people who are physically present should vote.
Right.
Yeah, we've had people that jump through hoops to get here.
Yep.
And to me, people would not want to come. I can do it on the video conference.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think it works. For metropolitan areas, it might be very helpful.
For us so far.
Again, it's not a required policy. You can delete the whole section.
I think we should delete that.
Just that line?
I just like to delete that clause.
Yeah.
That clause.
Wait.
Or convene.
Now, are you saying to.
After the or.
Clarification. After the or.
Yeah, we don't want to be able to vote by a conference.
What about the or and after?
They occur.
We deleted that whole paragraph.
Just take the whole paragraph out.
Yeah, you got to.
And that's state law. I don't want to change it.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you finished with that? I have a question about the policy or review.
I'm finished with it, but I'm not clear on what's the intent of the board. Are we changing it or deleting it?
We're not going to let vote on the video thing. You won't get a vote unless you physically...
Is the whole paragraph being deleted, or is it just...
After or.
I would read it corrected or amended to read voting action and or deliberation by a board may only occur at a meeting during which a quorum of board members has physically convened.
Period.
I have one question though about they're wanting us, they're suggesting that we change it. What are they saying? If enough boards vote for it, that they might change the law?
That's being changed through the legal system.
It's going to be a legislative act.
It's a legislative
act. Oh, okay.
It's not in the school board.
At some point, they will tell us we have to do that.
It's admissible. Like yeah.
That that's available, and we'll have no choice in it. But until then.
No, yeah. If it's legal, we still don't have to do it.
Then maybe we'll do it.
You get my point, yeah. But they make us.
Yeah, I have a question about the next paragraph, the third paragraph. I understand what it's saying, but it says that the board does not condone any communication, etc. And the different vehicles here are listed. I think, is that school board language, does not condone?
The whole text came from school board.
Okay. And this is my personal opinion. I don't think for this board that the words does not condone is strong enough. That prohibits, because we have had discussions ad infinitum about what we will do if we feel that one of us as a group has breached the intent of that paragraph. So does not condone, to me, is saying, you know, we don't like it. We don't agree with it. I don't know. Maybe it's hitting the wrong nerve. I don't think it seems too soft to me, but I'd like to know how everybody else feels about it.
I'd like to know why they worded it that way. If we knew, is there a reason why they worded it that
way? In the translation room,
they
typically give a kind of a crib sheets of thinking that went into it. So we just put the policy forward. Here's the crib sheet part of it. There's nothing in the open meetings law which would preclude board members from conferring individually via mail, telephone, or email. The Committee on Open Government was held that a series of communications which result in decision, meeting, or vote would be inconsistent. So they're saying there's nothing inconsistent with the law to do it, but the Committee on Open Government is suggesting not to. That's how they worded it, actually.
Okay. Well, I guess what we would do about it anyway is part of our regulations of policies. Thank you.
This is just covering the
okay.
It's covering the liability if we don't have it in here, right?
Yes. Could I see the push sheet sometimes? We have copies right now. Not on that particular one, but just nice to know what they think.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. What's next?
Disclosure. 9645.
I have nothing on it. Speak now for a holy peace. Go to the next one.
Compensation and benefits.
Those revisions came from school board associations.
Yes, this is all school board.
And that had to do with the attorney general or comptroller, I mean.
Comptroller, yes.
This is because we have on contract to do that for us, right? To update it with all the new laws.
Yes.
Okay.
It's automatic. Reviewing and bringing it forward.
Well, you know, there was a big stink about this across the state because a lot of what really weren't employees were getting retirement benefits. They were getting health benefits.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You're not talking about Long Island, are you? Long Island.
Not just Long Island.
Yeah.
So that, this is the response, I guess. Is everybody okay with the report? Okay, we have two changes on the first group. Welcome back. All of these are coming back except for homeschool, which is the final, and the compensation with benefits, which is revised, unless anybody would like to see that come back in the report. The others will come back at your next board meeting at the second meeting with changes. So please keep an eye on that. So I will need a motion for these.
I'll make a motion.
Policy 1741 and policies 9500 and 9500R.
Make the motion to forward them now that they're finalized.
It's acceptable.
Yes, it's acceptable. However.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You already did make a motion. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richie made a motion. Lana made a run.
Yeah, but we had to change it.
Yeah, but they're going to come back as a second meeting.
I know the top two are separated from the rest.
Oh.
Because they're finalized now.
Because they're finally not bringing them back.
No, not the top two. The top one and then the 9500.
Yeah, the top one and the bottom.
9500.
1741.
9500. Are you making a motion, Richard and Leonard, to approve those three?
Yes. Actually,
no, it's Richard and Kathleen.
That was the event.
Yeah, to approve those.
It's with Leonard and Kathleen?
No, the first motion was me and Leonard, and the second one was me and Kathleen.
Yes.
Rather than go through and redoing no motions, and he just made a new motion.
Made a new motion to accept this. Yes, let's go tonight.
Okay.
We didn't vote on it.
Yes.
But it was a really nice discussion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstained. No. Now we get to appendix. Result that superintendent schools recommends the Board of Education approve the bond transfer over $5,000.
A second.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Richard. Questions? Yes. This should take care of this. Brings us in a good firewall in repairs.
May I say something before you go? Just for future matters of discussion, I did have a conversation with Mr. Lambert about this, and you know, $30,000 is a lot of money. If it was caused by a virus that someone did maliciously, I just suggested to him that we update our policy so we ever can prove who was a source of it, that they could be held accountable for the cost of repairing damages done by these acts of computer system. It might be something we want to do next time we do the computer policy.
Which we'll probably look at again the following beginning of the year, which we usually do every year.
Do we know where it came from?
No, he does not know where it came from. But one of the things he was concerned about was limiting people, not allowing people to bring laptops from home and connect to our system, which is not prohibited right now. But
yeah, but we could also set up a separate station that's not a hooked up.
I have no idea.
That to me, I can see saying you can't bring your own, but if you had to, we could make a cutout system, couldn't we? Who would think?
That's the question.
Right, well, I mean, but in the future when we do discuss it, there has to be a way to say, well, I don't contaminate the whole system if I use it.
Yeah, they do. They have computers set up because they had to test every single USB drive in the district, okay, like student and faculty, so they had to have separate computers not connected to the server.
Yeah, it could have been something someone did innocently, unknowingly, You know, but I'm not looking to assign a blame to somebody, but I don't.
Yeah, we weren't the school. It kind of hit in Peru.
Oh, it hit me personally, you know, so I know what it was, but, you know, we don't want to be spending $30,000 on this every year either.
Do we have any legal ramifications since we didn't know, so we don't know anything?
Right. No.
Who makes a determination if it was malicious or not?
Fair question. Have to be.
What kind of investigation was done to see if it was non-malicious or malicious?
Pretty intensive from a BOCES, excuse me, from an ERA point of view, because it affected many school districts, mm-hmm. and not just ours. Through our own system, you know, frontline investigation, when that turned up not, when it was revealed there wasn't any logical way to determine cause, then all of the energies were diverted to find location and fix. Mm-hmm. And so that's what took place over that long weekend that I referenced earlier, you know, last month. The guarantee is, I don't think Gary would say there is one, because as we sit here, people figure out ways to infect computers. It's some areas it's very innocent, just, you know, at least those cases that have been prosecuted over the recent years have involved motives that run from, I just want to see if I can do it, all the way up to, no, I'm trying to get into credit cards and get numbers, etc. So it's really somewhere on the continuum. The skill and the capability is, you know, if it's man-made, it can be man-broken. I guess is the simplest way to describe it. And if it puts in private industry, as you well know, there are industries being developed and divisions being created to find the computer geniuses. That's what they do. Check all day long all the systems, make sure no one's trying to get into them. Not a lot different than what you see in your TV programs, actually. But with respect to our district, and Nathan brought up a good point, that is, there's no way of, we could write policy that speaks to, as an example, policy that says, personal laptop not signed up by the district, you can't use it at school. That'll be what it is, and it can be enforced. It can be, take up some culture changing. Because there's positive reasons why people are wanting to use their home computers, thinking that's a good thing, bring a laptop, pick up stuff, and then I'm okay. But there's also things like the scan disk, the drives that we talk about. Yes, ours, we clean up, and Gary, Mr. Lambert did that, called all of them in, and they scanned them all to make sure that they're all okay. But you can buy one, you know,
Staples,
$8.99 or whatever, yeah. And bring it into school. And there's no way, considering the size of it, there'd be really no way of assuring it, except we have our district name is on the ones that are issued through the district. But other than that, you can find the same color, you know, drive and sell them 2 to a pack or 4 to a pack at a store. There's really no way to visually know. It's just an authorized, you know, scan drive or a driver. So it's hard to get back at your question. Pretty hard to trace it down unless it's blatant. I mean, unless like 5 minutes ago.
Unless somebody drags to the one neighbor person's that there. You know, like, what I did.
Yeah.
You know, if someone drags.
A lot of energy put into solving it, which is partly why the transfers, as I put in my updates, will go a long way to setting us up to predict or protect us from the future, but no guarantees.
We'll find out when the April Fool's Worm makes it or doesn't make it, which is a new way. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do we have the top of line antivirus? I mean, is there a better one we could get?
You know, I have to ask Gary for that. I mean, NERC becomes our primary source, so, you know, whatever they're recommending is to protect all of their systems. That's typically, you know, the best that they have for the cost to get them.
Well, because I'm just wondering, if it costs us $30,000 for this one, and say you could go upgrade for, say, $5,000 a year or something, you know, it might be a good investment if it's going to keep it out. I don't know that that's true. I mean, it's like insurance. You can insure yourself poor. But I don't know if there's anything else there. You know,
you
can ask.
I've been run, my association with computer technology, as brief as it is, relatively vague, has told me that unless you're subscribing to a magazine, what you think you knew 6 months earlier is not true 6 months later.
Right.
Because it changes that quickly. Then he's kind of nodding over there, so he knows more from a student perspective than what I'm speaking to. Any other questions? Roll call.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
Yes.
Ray Falcon?
Yes.
Frank Hay?
Yes.
Catherine Grinberg-Funes?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Karen Armstrong? Steve Trembley?
Yes.
Stan Kroski?
Yes.
Recommend to the voters of the district, the annual district meeting of May 19, 2008, the following propositions. Proposition was vehicle purchase for 65 passenger school buses to replace existing 10-year-old buses, including trading in 4 buses, and to purchase 1 service truck. The total cost to exceed $411,703 shall be raised by a tax on the taxable property of the school district to be collected in the annual installments and in addition to obligations in accordance with the state education law and local finance law.
Motion.
One
at a time.
I'll say it. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Steve. Questions?
Yeah, I got a question on this contract or this service truck.
Mm-hmm.
I think $39,905 is way too high under a state contract for a service truck. I don't know what we're getting, but I have to think that we're getting something way more than we need. So I think it needs to be questioned before we spend that kind of money for a service truck.
Okay.
Is this service truck state aidable?
At least no. We don't know yet.
I think it's not student related. It's not student. It's got to be student related.
Okay. I'm working just off the price. The service truck. Can't answer
now,
either way.
I had heard it was a 6-passenger, the long bed. You know, that's not going to be a good plow truck. It's going to be way too long to be a good plow truck to get around the buses and stuff.
Short cab truck.
Well, what time frame are we here? Don't we have a certain prescribed number of days that we have to agree on the referendum? Do we have a window where we can go back and ask those details?
Yes, but does it really need, why are we putting something, a $39,000 thing, bonding that? You know, isn't that better to buy out of operating expense or get a 5-year loan on it instead of a 10-year loan on it? Have we ever purchased a service vehicle through the bus bond issue before? Typically, a bond issue is for...
No.
Are these 5 or 10-year bonds? I can't remember. I think they're 10-year bonds.
Five years.
Okay. Well, then I guess 5 years for a service.
In the past, you've always included a van. In the resolution.
Okay, so we have done stuff like that.
The van can be used for school.
Yeah, there used to be one van in the buses.
Well, what I'm saying is we've included the van in the resolution, but when it came down to it, we paid cash for it. We didn't ban the van. So the resolution gives you your maximum financing possibility.
So we don't have to go out.
You don't have to buy that truck.
We don't have to buy that.
You
so
could
we
go
can still
out
vote
for
on
bid.
This figure.
You could do other options, but that's your that sets your maximum limit.
In other words, if we vote on this, he's not going to be getting the size truck that he's talking about.
We don't have to.
Then why would you want to bond?
Once we give him the okay, though. It's,
yeah, but when we vote on this, it goes to the public. This doesn't happen just by us voting on it. It's got to go to the public.
Then, on your premise, Leonard, why would you want to bond something that you don't know what you're going to get? You're spending money, you don't even know what you're going to buy. And to me, you're going to bond it. You're going to bond $39,000 and buy a $30,000 truck?
Not to exceed this amount, but, you know, I guess I'd still say, yeah, because Sirelcher had 4-wheel drive trucks available for $20,000 a couple of months ago, you know.
How bad is the old truck?
It's over 10 years old, and it's kind of apart.
So it probably needs to be done, but
okay.
I agree with Linda. That sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Two more questions. Richard?
So are we it's going to be like a plow slash like utility truck, like for tools and stuff like that? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Right. Just because we approve this $400,000 as a max, it does not mean that we have to include the purchase of that truck. If we decide as a board that it's not a feasible purchase, that, you know, we can get something more, get more for our money, this just puts a cap on what we can buy. That's all.
I guess I have to assume that the person that put this forward, as we said before, we give them the responsibility to come up with what is a reasonable scenario. Okay? The fact that I didn't myself see it, look at it that way on the agenda and call and say, I want to have the details first. I don't work in that capacity. That's not my responsibility. But hearing the rest of everyone, I don't also feel like I want to accept a carte blanche either for my resolution. I just don't want to appear that I'm trying to micromanage the supervisor, because that's his forte. So, I mean, how can we serve, can we serve both masters here? Just so that minor depth information, I get the information.
Well, can it come back at the next meeting? Is it too late if it comes back at the next meeting?
We have an advertising deadline to meet, and then ads going in the paper on April 4th. Of the propositions that are going to the voters.
But we're not obligated to purchase. We're not obligated to spend this, right?
Not obligated as it currently reads.
It's just a cap.
That's what we can buy. First saying to the voters, do you want to authorize the expenditure of this amount for these two particular purposes? It doesn't, a yes vote, if you will, does not obligate the board to spend every bit of that amount, nor does it obligate on the truck that it be at that level. That's where let's take a look at the truck, wait, how are we going to use it, what are the bidding, and you try to go through, can you lower the cost of the truck? All of those things can still happen with a yes vote on your number that you see here.
So we
but to
get some input.
To change the number now, for whatever reason, eventually limits the truck purchase that can be purchased. That stands the reason. The more you change that number down, the more you're directing that it can't cost more than X number of dollars if you want to do it through this proposition.
Does anybody else think it might hurt the vote?
I do.
Yeah. Have it rolled in?
So everybody's keeping on their vehicle for another 2, 3, 4 years.
Boy, but we deviate from sponsoring buses.
Well, you know, the buses, I don't want to take advantage of people's goodwill, but usually they understand that rationale.
Well, buses are an annual event. Yes. I mean, every year we replace 4 buses. Right. We've been doing it now for 15 years. I've ever done it.
Yeah, and it's been going smooth, but this, I don't want to have this, especially this year.
One reason why I listed in my update the amount for the truck.
Right.
You change your thinking, you could subtract the amount, and then
I got it Friday.
Make that decision.
And I have no business, no problem buying a truck if we need it, and I think we do need it, but I don't know if we need, like you said, that big of a truck and to link it to the buses.
Can we make it a separate proposition?
No. I don't think it's feasible.
What?
I'm just asking.
Well, we just take it out of the proposition.
And look at other sources going different directions.
Yeah, but can we? I mean, would that delay the purchase of the truck?
No.
Okay. Because I don't know if we don't need it either. I mean, I'm not against it, but my point is, if it's gonna keep people voting against the buses, so.
I don't see anything else.
I think that sure will kill
I don't think it would kill it, but we need to do a lot of answering a lot of questions. Because why bother answering the questions?
Yeah, I mean, it's always split.
Why bother taking
the money? My take on the board is to
pursue what it means.
From the proposition.
Yes.
Eliminate $35,000
and subtract $35,000.
And bring it up another way.
$35,905.
I just have one question for the superintendent. You do have ways to bring that back, right? A truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to lose the opportunity.
Oh,
the
truck. I'll subtract.
I don't know.
You
know. What's up,
man?
I have another question, if it's not pertinent. How do we bring it back? Under what? How do we do it? I just can't see a way. I just don't know where you would put it. Okay.
That's coming up as additional.
I just want to make sure before we take it out that it could go somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if I've done the math right, the new number would be 375,798.
Right.
375,798.
I will also amend my motion to reflect the change.
Yes, I will amend my second. Okay. And to make sure all the members understand that this total cost now is changing to $375,798.
Just for buses.
And that's just buses. The four buses forward in this proposition. We'll look for other monies for the truck.
And Joanne and Scott have a permission to massage that number if they need to tomorrow morning when they have everything in front of them. A few dollars one way or the other just in case.
Okay. Yes, good point.
70 something. It's over 75, if I remember.
It's down. Proposition on the purchase of the buses have in the past contained a reimbursement rate available to the taxes, so the taxpayer would know that. We didn't put it in here because the truck was attached to it, but now we can go back.
Oh, that's a real good reason.
You can make that truck out then to put it up.
I'll use that for this.
They didn't have that reimbursable.
Okay.
The school buses get
Richard, you amend also accept the amendments for the reimbursement rate.
I'll amend everything.
After the reimbursement rate.
Rewrite it.
And I'll amend it if you want to amend it. And Steve, you want to change your second?
And Steve, you're changing your second to also to include the reimbursement rate to this proposition. So this proposition.
I'm just don't say no.
Yes. Richard Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
Yes.
Guy Falcon?
What are we doing?
Taking out the truck.
Okay.
You took out the truck?
Yes.
Okay.
Frank Hay?
Yes.
Kathleen Greenberg-Funes?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yeah.
Stan Kroski?
Yes. Motion moves. Under proposition, this is the second proposition. Bleachers transfer no more than $240,000 from the district's existing fund balance to purchase bleachers for the football field. So,
motion second.
Thank you, Leonard.
Second. Richard.
This is basically a replacement to replace the bleachers that we took down.
Is this, is there a reason why, now I'm going to feel foolish, but is there a reason why the language doesn't follow that? To be raised by a tax, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is a resolution just asking for a chunk of cash to come out of the fund balance.
Yes.
It's not going to be rolled into the taxes.
Right. Right.
This is like what we did with the initiatives before.
Well, it's just a way to let them
make sure that's where we were, how we were doing it.
It's just a way to make the people, if they don't want it, they tell us.
So. Great. So it doesn't affect tax levy.
Thank you.
7.7. Can you word it as such?
We'll look
out. Does it not affect tax levy?
Was this from the existing fund balance?
We think that's a public relation thing. It'd be nice to get out in the newsletter.
That's the way to go with that.
Just like we did with the capital projects before.
Yeah.
We had money in a fund balance, so we stocked the fitness room.
This will all be presented on the internet. Explanations of why these are being presented can be.
Yep. Reaching closure on the budget gets the newsletter out
My message, what's in the budget, don't look at it.
And what we're doing
that's
today.
That's one source. And there'll be other.
What the benefits and effects.
Detail on these propositions.
Mm-hmm. These are only two.
And sign me up for the chicken circuit if that helps as well. I'm going to go around, talk with any group. And then just be able to walk through the budget pieces. They did that last year.
Ready for roll call?
Fisher Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
Yes.
Guy Falcon?
Yes.
Kay?
Yes.
Kathleen Gridberg Funes?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
Dan Brodsky?
Yes.
Motion carries. Then we'll move to additional items, and we'll continue with our budget discussions. We still have some budget pieces that are still out there that I thought the board would like to chew on some more.
Just as a reference point, I did pass out the PowerPoint that was made last time in case you didn't have yours in your packet. I brought this is the same set that we used last time. My update, if you had a chance to read through it, is pretty self-explanatory on what options are available. I do want to make one point of change. Next to the last page in your handout, you'll recall in my presentation, I talked about items not included in the budget, and that's really what I was speaking to in my update. But as it turns out, the savings for the projected savings for the district by providing the services as I outlined them is $118,000, not the $76,000 that I put in there in the first place. And the reason for that is you would want to, and I will, be eliminating on a PowerPoint the 1.0 FTE teacher aid. That is not going to be necessary. So that takes out that cost. The overall cost for the BOCES service, right? I'm going to have that in front of me.
It's like $179,000, something like that.
It's a pretty big number per student. I think we had 9 students. It's like 100. It's hard to find the notes here, but the point is that the point for proposed to think through for the budget is if we add the 0.4 FTE psychologists, that will enable us, and by the way, that's certainly less than 50%, so there's no benefits that would come in that position. As a just a point of reference, would address our compliance issues and our timelines that we have found ourselves getting in arrears with, and that time delay can be very aggravating, to say the least, for families, as well as eventually the state ed giving us compliance mandates. So we can go a lot faster with a little bit more psychologist time helping us with the IEPs and the annual reviews. The 1.0 teacher position would be the position necessary to serve the students that we would otherwise be purchasing that service from BOCES. And as I pointed out earlier, the amount of money for that service from BOCES, I'm doing this a little bit from memory now, is in excess of, it's like $30,000 a pop for each student. So the difference between hiring a teacher to help us meet those needs and paying BOCES to provide that service comes out to, after talking with Leanne tonight, approximately $118,000 in savings.
Yeah. Is that account for part of the 17% increase in BOCES services? That's in the handout. It's not paginated, so I'm not sure. Is that state aid without deficit?
Yeah, that's a hard
job. That table?
I don't know where, if that. If the service, presently, it's not in the budget, so the answer would be yes. In other words,
right.
We built it
it's
on the assumption this isn't happening until we, as a group, you decide you'd like to take this approach. But the money for the BOCES service that I just referred to is already in the budget that I presented to you.
Question. I understand. I'm for it because we've been unable to pull kids back before because we don't have the classroom. My one question is, what's the limit? How many kids can be in this? Can we pull back for one teacher?
Actually,
I know we have 8 or 9, but how many could we have?
I didn't ask the cap on it, but Leanne, through my memory here again in the conversation, mentioned that there is room for additional students should they become available or needed in the district, as opposed to a per cap to BOCES. They would be all part of the same class. So
right.
The savings, I don't want to overemphasize it, but point out that if we use just as an average, or excuse me, a simple measuring stick, if the population of students got no larger or got no smaller but stayed with us for a couple of years, this would be the savings we would project to get each year, because we would otherwise be buying that service from BOCES.
Yeah, it looks like even with four or five kids, we'd about break even, probably so.
Now, there was also an issue brought up about busing students. Most of these students, this program will be brought in on lower levels. The program will start at our school here at the ninth grade level. These will be ninth and tenth graders. Most of the job coaching will be very locally within the district or very close by. So the busing issue won't be as big as because the program is going to start there and then work its way out. So busing will become an issue eventually, but right now it's very little busing is going to be needed for these students.
I guess I don't have a totally strong opinion one way or the other on this, on the thing with BOCES. It's, my thought is I would like this to be around for years down the road coming. We could make it work that way. If this is already in our budget as it's proposed right now, I would almost consider making this, or having this wait another year, because we're going to have this survey done, hopefully, with our building allocations, number of students coming in, what we're going to try to do with the West Shazy building, how is all this going to work out 4 or 5 years down the road? Are we going to have to be turning around and sending kids back if we don't keep the West Shazy building? How are we going to work all that? I don't know if 1 year is going to hurt this considerably, seeing as it's already put into the budget. That's my thought on that.
This
one
is not thing.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not in the budget already, so it's not really. By not doing this for one more year, while we figure out what we're going to do with all these other buildings and how much room we actually have, doesn't seem like a big thing to me. And are we going to discuss undesignated fund balance right now, or
next? We really need to really decide by the end of this program whether we're going to stop this program.
Well, one kind of goes with the other. But okay. I'll hold my next question.
Okay. George first.
Couple questions, if I may. One is, we're going to save up to $118,000. Does that include the health insurance costs for these individuals, or just the salary costs?
Both.
You factor in how much it
helps. You're talking about
the new employees, if we get new one-time, one full-time teacher, one full-time aide.
Teacher aide's gone. Just the teacher and the point four.
Yeah, you want to strike the teacher aide out.
Yeah, he's done.
Okay.
Which is why the numbers, in part why the numbers.
Okay.
As well. But the budget, the amount that would be budgeted is a number that includes our expectations.
It includes the benefit expenses, the retirement, and all that kind of stuff. Because that's another thing. Even every time we hire another person and that person stays here long enough and we have more retirement costs, we're going to have to be paying health insurance for that person forever, the way our contracts are currently set up. So it is a long-term commitment, conceivably, when we hire somebody. And so just saving a little bit on a yearly budget may not reflect the long-term impact it has on the taxpayers. If I may, Richard, the other thing is, when I think of special education classrooms, there's always teacher aides, there's student aides too. Are the student aides factored in here? We're going to have 9 kids with only one adult in that classroom, I think. Aren't there additional individual aides based on IEPs and all that? And so I think there's going to be more than just one adult in that classroom. And these, were they factored in?
Yeah. A lot of questions. AIDS can be, each year the AIDS are allocated based on where the needs are, so don't know if there'll be one more or less in the room, but it's not one more needed to do the program because of the allocation of the existing pool of AIDS. That's one part of it. I have the actual write-up here, but I'm going to try and translate it. The second piece of it is that current teacher load would enable the program that we're talking about, which is the career occupational piece of it, to be accomplished with that same staff member running the program all day long. The 1.0 is dealing with other students that we would send to BOCES for other related services. The combined savings is what I've been trying, that's the point I've been trying to get at, would be this amount of money. If I could, Mr. Trombley, follow up, if it's decided not to do it this year, then the money to be sent to BOCES for the service would follow the students, but that teacher position that would be coming with the savings would not be available to help with the size, the other remaining issues left at home to deal with. We're trying to take advantage of a teacher picking up and saving at the same time overall cost of the district. That was the concept behind it.
Okay. And so my third question is, you know, what's our classroom availability look like? You know, is this going to put Mr. Frechette in a bad position because now he can't offer, you know, Psych 101 or some, you know, the enrichment programs on the other end? Do we have enough? Are we going to have to be building a new school building?
That was my one of my points. Not, I talked to Leanne. She says they have a room for it. So that's not the issue. The room's already available.
Yep, that was a part of the original discussion was before we proceed down the road, answer some of these questions. If she has the room, she has staffing. It's a question of do we do the service herself or pay for it elsewhere, at least for this year.
Now, my second part is a little bit off Steve's question. Now, I understand coming in the future, we're supposed to have a survey done about utilization of buildings, but that's looking to get more value out of the space we already have.
Correct.
So that's to increase our building using. So I don't know that, you know, the issue that Steve's bringing up is going to be so pertinent. It might be. But my point is we might free up a couple of rooms by the consolidation. So as I'm saying, we don't have to worry about now about finding a spot. We already have one, and we're looking to find more down the road. So my only issue with that, too, if we have a place to put them, and if they do have a place, and we can save money, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, go do it.
Well, I was kind of agreeing with Steve that we're going to do a complete analysis of utilization of the buildings. Instead of starting a new program prior to that, I would wait for the, you know, the advice from that survey. That's just my opinion and my point.
I had two questions. I've heard a couple of people say we're going to do the survey. Are we talking about advisory solutions part of the New York State School Boards? Is that the survey you're talking about?
We
haven't voted on that yet, though. Is that correct?
No.
It sounds like people are kind of like hinging on when we're going to do this as part of the decision. I wanted to clarify. Secondly, Mr. Amo, have you actually seen physically the space where they want to put these
buildings? No, I've gone. I'm leaving Mrs. Short, the CSC director's recommendation. She's told me a room number. I honestly didn't write it down.
You feel confident, though?
I'm confident because that was a critical piece. She understands what's required for special needs population, space requirements, et cetera. I think it's in the high school. I hope I'm not misspeaking, but I think she said it was in the high school. There is a classroom for this to occur.
Because the last, I guess,
classroom space.
Maybe my memory doesn't serve me well sometimes, but especially with the balloon class that there is in the junior year right now, mm-hmm. I know there have been concerns that we were really, really tight on space in high school, and especially, you know, with consideration to offering additional classes for high school students, so I just wanted to echo that.
For the program that's being described, if we're successful with it, they'll be spending as much time out as they will in. company because of the relationship with the business community and the occupation, I say occupation, any of the settings, the work-related settings that we find for the students, there would be not all in classroom experiences. So in terms of being in a room all day versus not, they'd be probably more away from classrooms than typical students are, if that's a variable in your thinking.
But 100% of them would have to be gone for all afternoon to free that classroom up for something else. So as long as one remains, that classroom is not going to become available.
But don't all the class, isn't all the outside is either in the morning or the afternoon, isn't it?
Wait, wait the program rate of months. The day is split in half. Half the day is spent in academics. Half the day is spent on the job. Uh-huh. So the first half, they're in the academics. They're not going to spend the time in that room. They're going to be in their academic classes and rotating through that. And then they're going to go to their afternoon spot, which is the full afternoon on the job training. For school to work kind of idea is how it works. Now, some of that may happen in the morning where they're working in the morning and then going to their afternoon academic classes. But that rotation I don't see where they would utilize that room all the time because of the way this works. They may have it as a central location for the kids to come in and get their information and move on, but it's not. They wouldn't stay there when they're not out on the job because they have their activities they have to go to.
I just wanted to, because I don't want to make it sound like I'm totally against it. This is $118,000 and we're looking for money anywhere we can get it. And if the administration is saying that they believe we have the room for this and that they believe this is a good thing for the school district in a way to save money, then I'm in favor of that. Main goal in this, I guess, is that 2 years from now, I do not want to be laying out the teacher and sending these kids back to BOCES because it didn't work out. I would prefer to know that, okay, we've got everything all figured out, we've taken the time
to new program
make sure
state,
this is all going to work before. And if you guys are quite certain of that, I know nothing's 100%, but if you guys are quite certain of that, then I'm in favor of this. But I just want to make sure that this is...
It's targeting right now ninth graders. That's the beginning of the program. So if you wait a year, then you're losing that chance to start the program at the right time, which would change the flow. But I mean, it's the perfect time now to incorporate that because it hasn't had students going to the post center and then pulling them back. It's students that haven't gone yet and making the program around that. So it does kind of make sense to start it this year.
The only thing I say is I think Leanne has done her homework most of the time. She seems to be very clever at what she does. And I don't know, I kind of think that she's figured things out here there to get working in the right area. I'm sure she's going to so forth.
The effectiveness piece, Steve, on the program, well taken. It's the one I offer the least amount of guarantees to because it's a combination between the students, the coach, teacher coach, and parents, quite frankly, in having to be successful.
Right.
When if two or three of those variables are not as effective, then we would have need to reevaluate the program, period. But it was done, and that's why I didn't build it in this budget. I wanted you to see what we knew to be our costs, et cetera. But I wanted to not be remiss in pointing out a chance to do something a little bit more that was desirable. That's how I presented it.
Just one quick question. If we go ahead and do this, when you're doing an interview, would you not tell the teacher, well, this is a new program, and we can't guarantee down the road that it's going to be a 20-year program? I mean, to me, I would just give them heads up saying we're trying it, and if it works, great. but to me, that would cover that part of it.
Yeah, one of the issues in dealing with uncertain populations, both in terms of need as well as numbers, is that each year is really a total it up and see what our needs are for next year. That's why there's movement of students. Ideally, we have students exiting, or excuse me, I used the wrong word. I said that last time we slightly did it say. It's not exiting the program, it's students who leave the program because their needs are no longer needed to be serviced in special ways. Well, if there's staff assigned to them, we either keep them to work with new students that have come in, or if this total population of students changes and they decrease, then we're at a point year to year saying, don't need as many people. And unfortunately, in that case, we see it would be the order. But where we are now, again, this, we're not there because we have enough pressing that she was suggesting adding a teacher is still bringing savings, and it solves a lot of problems. That's in a nutshell.
So you want to go to sense?
So this thing about when you said that the student population's coming in next year and we're going to lose them. Every year there's a new ninth grade class.
Right.
Are you saying there's nine students next year coming in are going to be all ninth graders? So the year after that we're going to have another program for another ninth
program grade? That's coming that may come in. They may have students. It's just that this year it happens to fall that these students are in need of the services and have been identified as such. That identification follows the students from kindergarten up through. We may have students next year that are not identified. They may not be identified for that program.
But we might have nine
less.
More.
Yeah.
It may be more. Maybe
and
less.
And so we'd be going back to BOCES because we can only house so many here.
Sure.
Well, eventually there'll be a cap. I'll give you an example. I'm reading off the notes. I'm probably butchering this or trying to explain it. This year in September, we purchased 14 slots. It was a recommendation to provide that service in-house. That's what we're talking about. The anticipated slots for next year would be nine. So we bought 14 last year. We're anticipating nine. So the cost of $12,000 per slot. This program option is costing $108,000 to buy. Purchase for BOCES, $108,000. We're hoping that we can meet the need with current resources. We can. That's what she told me today. If that is not the case, I would recommend hiring an aid job coach. That's where they $35,000 a year to cover the workforce portion. The approximate savings would be $17,000. The other related piece is we have five students requiring an educational setting we do not offer and we would need to purchase through BOCES.
An educational what?
Educational setting, I'm sorry. Requiring a setting we do not have here, and we would be purchasing that service from BOCES. At the time, the setting is approximately $36,745 per student for a total of $146,980. Investigating the space and program options, that's the piece that I've since in my PowerPoint explained she has the space and the program. Would enable us to provide a more effective and fiscally responsible program. If we could find the space, and she says she has, and run this type of program in-house, the cost saving would be approximately $70,000, with a savings of $76,980. That number is what I originally put in my update, but she was saying since then she has investigated that the aid would not be necessary. So that's another savings on top of the savings. Plus, and I didn't go through all of the rest of it for you, but that's the concept is that adding, if it's a decision of the board, to build it into the budget, it's going to result in a savings on the numbers we've already built into the budget.
It's just like going out and getting a save. It's extra money.
Because we built it on the assumption this was not in, and we included that in the budget numbers.
Well, I'm for it. So
we're not voting on this tonight.
Yeah, that's just it.
Well, we want to know basically.
We're not voting on it, but
do we want to do it or not?
Presentation, we'll need to either roll it in as an explanation or not.
Sure. When are we going to determine whether or not?
My position is the board. Does the board want to keep the
team? One more meeting.
We have one more
meeting, and then you have to adopt the budget.
No, that's true. That's true. So does the board want to keep this coming forward?
I do. will also support it.
We have had good dialogue tonight on this, a lot of questions. Is there any board, I guess, is there any board member that isn't interested in the outreach program carrying at least one more meeting to discuss? And bring up any more questions? Okay, we'll keep this moving forward as possible. Now, we did ask the superintendent to bring some data forward on undesignated fund balance. It's possibly moving to the left with the effective safety.
We received no information that would lead you to believe that you're not getting the money back that we were told, right?
That's the mystery of it all. Everything is, there was a flash response issue. I think I tried to keep the board informed when the stimulus package was adopted. It was going to come back in one or two forms. Either the governor, it has to come back in one or two forms. The governor either has to restore the Foundation Aid formula to previous levels, which dollar-wise is almost identical. Am I correct? Ron, I'm sort of putting into this, but restoring the, or unfreezing the foundation aid level is almost dollar-for-dollar the same as the deficit reduction amount that we knew originally under the whatever thousand.
I think it was within 20,000 to 40,000 of the original law.
So we're waiting still
just to see which way
it's going to go.
But one way or the other, I mean, they've been told they're going to do it one way or the other.
Yeah. It's a question of when, number one, for terms of putting the final touches on the budget. And again, as a reminder, I developed this budget assuming we weren't getting any of them back. So the real question, the question becomes tax rate. Is one number without additional fund balance being applied, and it's any number beyond or beneath that that the board wants it to be by applying corresponding fund balance. And I tried to, we built a chart, kind of giving some ranges to understand, you know, what would be needed and where it would take you.
Well, I mean, I guess we're assuming Alden has to know that they have to give us these figures before we go and vote, before our budget is due.
And everybody's clamoring for the same thing.
We've gone to vote before those, Steve.
Hasn't made a difference.
Yeah, yeah. They don't care. That's our problem.
It's a common occurrence.
If we get this, it's only a 2-year fix, correct?
That's correct. So that's, you know, there are variables. I think I've spoken to, well, I didn't in my latest update, but I have in the past spoken to variables of potential or anticipated new revenues. Without going through all the whole list, you know that there are a number of properties that would become on our task force, and they are scheduled to phase in, if you will, over the next couple of years, in whole or in part. It is an advantage, I think is the safest way to describe it, than perhaps other districts can look forward to beyond the 2 years of the stimulus. So it's kind of, it's all of that. It's the chart, it's the little bit of the unknown of how much new revenue in 2 years, it's how much of the undesignated, how much of the deficit reduction truly comes back, if there are any strings attached to it. I made the comment, and it was picked up obviously by several of you, I'm sure, that depending upon the distribution of it, and by that I meant, as I did a follow-up to you, if there's some cap put on some portion of how you can use it, it could result in shifting a little bit. There's, you know, the money may come back, but it may be in ways that you can access it to save the, you know, to save the exact dollar impact, if you will, on your tax base. So they could, but we're not anticipating that number being large enough to tip, you know, tip the tax rate, because of how much you need to move it. Yeah. You know, you got to have a big enough number to move that tax rate. Not anticipating those kinds of stipulations, if you will, affecting it. We got a notice, Dr. Ron, you might have it with you. I hope you do. we had a notice, oh, actually right here, New York School Boards Association literally yesterday was calling, putting a paper out, call to action, and they were commenting on the fact, on the idea that if the governor, let me find the sentence, it will make sense, if the governor's final plan and the legislature approves it, works through this angle, there would be a 15% shifting of costs to the local taxpayers for the, which program?
UPK.
UPK program. In other words, once done, it becomes forever, another 15% charge that local budgets would have to pick up. Well, our cost of that, we did a...
Roughly $250,000, but the 15% is around 30 and change.
Yeah, 30-some thousand loss, if you will. So, but does that turn the tax rate on its ear? No.
0.5%.
But it's a... It's an amount. So it's a little bit of that. I'm looking at everybody because it's a little bit of known, a lot of known, and a little bit of uncertainty that creates the what to do with the fund balance.
There's just really no way to decide this until the last minute. This is what we're
We can decide it. We're just not going to know what implication it has on the tax rate.
Right. Well, all this stuff together. Right. If you take the 30,000, you take the 20,000 to 40,000 difference, it's around 100 grand. That's a dime on the rate. So that's what you're talking about. Yeah, the little stuff.
Well, it's like yes. I mean,
what does it all add up to?
$100,000 is a dime.
The paper you got in your packet, you're looking at. If we got all our money back from the state that we should be getting back, that we're expecting to get back, if you used the 1.5 million that we normally use. If you add 600,000 to that, we have exactly the same tax rate as we had last year, which is quite easy to do.
And if I could add that, actually,
which is quite easy to do with the fund balance that we have, that we've been told to spend.
If that's your target, that's what the unknown is.
Well, that's just what I'm saying.
It just gives you that kind of.
And that assumes that we're getting that stimulus money. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm
saying. From the federal government, yeah.
And we still need 60 grand more. To keep the tax rate the same.
$600,000.
In addition, that's correct.
Yeah.
But the question on where are we now is what that chart was trying to show.
But that scenario is based off of a 0% change in taxable assessment value.
Right, that's saying 0%
for assessment. Which probably
will. If we lower 60,000 off the levy.
To me, this looks like if we get the money back that we're supposed to get back in this stimulus money, we're in pretty darn good shape.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing better than anybody else. We're looking around 300,000 probably.
Kathleen?
I don't know if anybody else in this Packers game, I don't want to make that decision. I'm just going to ask the question. Is anybody serious about wanting to take another $3 million out of our fund balance? Is that where we're going to?
$3 million.
I don't know. I just get a sense from our last meeting that we were talking about.
Oh, no. They were talking about maybe doing more than 1.5.
Yeah, the 600.
Right, the 600. That would be around 2.
Yeah. 210.
Yeah, not 3. No. We're not talking about
that number, though, last time. That's why.
Well, the issue is our, is that they'll talk about it, is how much we have in our general fund.
But that's... gets back to your point is that this deficit reduction plan is a 2-year fix, and if we use our fund balance, 60,000 this year, 60,000 next year, 600,000 this year, 600,000 next year, deficit reduction goes away, then we're looking at a $3 million makeup that's going to.
Well, keep in mind the deficit reduction was a one-time charge to the district. So what that was there was a frozen state aid, and then in addition to that, they charged us an additional $800,000. That was the governor's proposal. With the economic stimulus that the state received, the governor was saying, we're not going to charge you the $800,000. We're going to just put it back in. So it's not that they're giving us a one-time payment. They're taking away a one-time charge.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So that would not be a continuing thing. It was going to be a one-time charge, and now they're saying we're not going to charge you because we've received money from the federal government.
But it's they'll depend on the state economy turning around and that one-time charge doesn't reappear.
The federal economy as well, yes.
And the unknown dollar to put on the new properties
taxable
that will be
property.
Taxable as we find out the industries that are being opened up.
Nova Book.
Things like Nova, the theater.
Tomo 12.
There's properties that a lot
a
of
new hotel
don't have, and we just can't put a number on it yet until they are assessed. What our share would be.
And now we're building, which would be building up across from the Delano, another building complex that would be able to three.
Plus, they're going to be leveling the one next to the Cumberland building there.
Yep.
So, in other words, the general trend on the way these numbers are showing up for the levies is going to probably remain the same.
Depending on how much we put on it.
No. Levy, you mean the assessed value?
Yeah. The amount we get
the assessed
reserved
value
every year.
If the assessed value goes up, the levy goes up. So
that chart you're looking at, oh, there you go. The chart in the original package shows what the trend has been.
Right. Yes. Is that the trend you're
what was
to?
Actually voted on,
the trend on the tax
versus
rate,
what
right.
it actually became.
Right. Yeah. It had been.
We're in a position with the proposed amount without any additional fund balance that mm-hmm. you're looking at the numbers as they appear. That number is going to be less. We just don't know how much any more than last year. We know. That's why the circle is probably going to be somewhere inside this bubble. We just don't know. Last year, that bubble dropped to the 1691 or 1692.
We had 51 right? more properties that
but
came
on at the end. But it was approved by 1743. Right. So that's what we're dealing with is what amount of fund balance do you want to apply to the tax rate to have an impact of a target rate that you're shooting for, knowing it's probably going to be less when it's all done.
Yes.
Well, my concern is what's going to happen to this overage that we've got on the SED limits. There's a lot of rumors out there that the state may be doing some cutting. Are they going to take the funds from us?
So what's happening now with the way they are going, and it hasn't been new news, that they're looking at school fund balances. Schools have always said that the cap that the state puts on is way too low, so they increased it a little bit. We are still, and have been twice now, cited for having above that limit in the SED regulations. That's a good problem. And I attribute a lot of that to the tight spending that everybody has been watching. But if we don't use something, the state is going to mandate. That's coming down the road. They're going to say, you will use any overages, and it will be out of our hands. And that's coming. So we need to think about that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes?
I'm hearing what you're saying. I've been part of that discussion for a long time at this table. Do you have anything in writing that indicates that there's any bill that's being formulated at the state level to do so? Because that's not the news that we were getting from Albany. It was like, you're not supposed to do this. People kind of understand what the other way. So is there anything relevant with the proposal legislation right now?
Nothing in legislation right now. There's still strong language that.
From whom?
Isn't there a different way in the
There is that. The last round of audits of school districts, the early rounds, the early round message was here's your amount, this is the SED limit, this is what your limit is, and it has typically been next item. The latest rounds, and this information was shared in our chief school officers meeting with Mr. King, the latest rounds of audits are causing stop at that line and talk to boards about the efforts to do something about that number. So I'm told there was a case that's being deliberated on that very point. I don't have the case to cite, but I know it was shared that there is a case. Now, why it's confidential or not, I'm not really sure. But the trend, quote unquote, the dialogue, if you will, if we want to trust any conversations occurring with the media outlets like this one and NISBA and business officials, novices, et cetera, is obviously in the economy that we face and confronting everyone, one of the areas that state government will always look for is ways to reduce, where it can, property tax rates. And if it is, the money is not in designated reserve accounts, which there are limited numbers of those, and you probably know all this already, but if money is designated from general fund to a designated reserve account, in almost all instances, that's where it stays. It has to be used for that purpose. That's the nature of the law. It's designated. So you can move, and there are districts that have too many of those. They're over it, according to audits. Some districts have done, created those accounts as a way of making sure they have the hedge against the rainy day or the emergency that pops up. But they add up to a higher level than what SED will allow you to keep. So they're getting conversations in their audit reports that speak to too many of those reserve accounts. We don't have that. You know, we're not certainly maxed out on where reserve account money could go, but it's probably more than you care to know. But the beat, if you will, is stay tuned. We don't know who, we don't know when, but the last round of audits is where they're starting to report out. Let me tell you what happened when my auditor left, when there wasn't none of that chatter in the early rounds. So that's at the president's best I have for you.
Quick question.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin is giving the money back. Is that what they say, right? If you don't use it, you have to give it back.
I don't know.
Well, the way you give it back is by applying it.
I know, but I mean that. But I'm saying, though, but if
checks or
in the future, we're going to have a discussion. Do we want to make an account for something, or are we going to get rid of it the other way? We're going to have to do that because we're not going to have a choice down the road. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell us what to do.
Well, that's what I perceive is happening at the state level with all these little things that are happening and how they have been proceeding with a lot of the other areas, that they're going to basically take it out of the hands of the school on how we can use it for our school, for our situations, and just say that overage goes here, period. And it just ties our hands as far as being able to.
But don't we have underfunded designated fund balances such as benefit days of retirees? And
yes, we have.
And they're underfunded now. We can move some money into them.
That's correct.
We can move some money into the health insurance fund for retirees. Yes. Those kind of things.
There is no health insurance fund for retirees.
Well, that's not. I thought that was one of the things that was.
There's accrued liability for sick day payouts, but
right.
Not health insurance.
Okay, I thought one time something was said about we need to be planning for that expense or something.
It's an expenditure that comes out of a general fund every year, but we're not.
But
now
we're allowed to put that
accounts.
Into into a designated fund.
That's
okay.
Correct. There's no provision for that.
But one of the problems with those is that if our boiler alert goes down,
right?
Okay.
Chimney
falls down. We can't go to those areas and
right.
Go back out.
Yeah, it's locked in.
For roof replacement. I mean, you can do.
You could do like a capital project or something.
Capital
yeah.
Well, you could do capital projects,
right.
But that's kind of going to happen now.
I know, but
I understand that. But we still, if we have designated funds that are not fully funded, we should fully fund them because we do have a surplus of undesignated funds.
And
I am still uncomfortable with having such a 4% limit. You know, that is a very low limit.
It is.
If a tornado came through here and ripped our roof off, That's an act of God, not covered by insurance.
Of high need students, that 4% is gone.
That's right.
The following year.
Yeah, 30 grand a pop, I tell you, don't take long.
It's just a very thin line when you get down that level.
Yeah.
I totally agree. We agreed on that and agreed on that.
I mean, that's why, I mean, and that's one reason why the state, I mean, I've been on the board 15 years and we've always been over our undesignated fund.
Yeah.
And they've always slapped our hand when they audit us at the end of the year. The auditor will say, well, you're over your undesignated fund. But they've never, ever really come down hard on any district. I mean, as long as you're not 30% above.
The way everything is moving, that may change, Frank. And I just want board members to think about that.
Yeah, we're getting, Frank, we're
not
getting.
I'm saying we should drain it. Definitely not.
But from the BOCES, the ones that are getting hit now, we were lucky we were one of the first ones. Because now they're nitpicking. They're really, stuff that they didn't cite us for, they're citing other people for. So, I mean, as they've gone farther into more schools, they're finding more and more and they're pushing. So, I think we're getting to the day, because Mr. King from BOCES says, everyone's harder than the last one. So.
Yeah, they just did us, and they won't be back to us for a few years.
No, but at the point, we were lucky that we were early.
Yeah. I would shape the topic this way, I guess. If there is a designated account that is underfunded, so how to resolve that? Fund balance transferred in would do that. The effect of it would be to lower your fund balance. The effect of lowering the fund balance is that it lowers your options on other things you want to do with transferred money because it's secure in that cost center. If the goal is to lower fund balance some way, that will do it. That's one way to frame it.
But that should also lower the tax rate eventually because we won't be paying that out of operating expense when that bill comes due.
It won't be coming out of general funding.
It won't be coming out of general fund. It will be coming out of that designated fund balance.
Yes.
You okay with that? All right. And fund balance amount will come down. Also.
Correct. If you were to establish a capital reserve account and provide for a boiler repair out of a capital, you know, make it a capital project, provide for it. You don't put it in the budget. You pay for it out of the reserve account.
Correct.
We have an employee retirement reserve account to pay accrued leave when somebody retires. We currently budget for those items. You pay them out of the reserve account, you take it out of the budget, lowers the budget. So there are ways, and that's why reserve accounts are established, to legally be able to retain within your limits certain things, to reallocate undesignated fund balance to certain reserve accounts to use for those unexpected occasions, or to help lower budgetary expenditures. And as you can see by your spreadsheet, both spreadsheets, you have one spreadsheet which is a budget, in our opinion is a worst case scenario, an allocation of fund balance, a portion to keep the tax rate at a 0% increase. And then you have another spreadsheet which indicates how much fund balance you have in addition to the limitations. And you have enough to have some options for 1 or 2 years.
It's a comfort level on the balance that's fundamental.
One quick thing, because I know we pretty well beat this to death, but I would be more comfortable if we could get a recommendation from the business manager and the superintendent on how to do it, because, like you say, some things you put money in, you can't get it out. And something that they would feel comfortable with as a recommendation, because I've talked before and said, I want to put it here. Well, then you can't pull it out for 3 years. Well, each one's different, and I don't know them all, and I know there's a lot of different rules governing each one, and I think that we need someone to give us a recommendation on how to do that.
Well, if I could clarify that, once you put money in a reserve account, it's not forever in the reserve account. And I'll give you an example of the tax certiorari reserve account. Each year, I'm required to reevaluate our outstanding tax cert lawsuits and see what kind of a liability we have on the books. So if one of those tax cert accounts settles, we reevaluate our outstanding liability. And if the liability is less, then we're required to lower our reserve account and put that back into undesignated fund balance. And that needs to be done on an annual basis. So once you put money in the tax cert, it doesn't stay there forever. It has to be reevaluated. The same with the employee retirement reserve account. Every year we evaluate what our accrued liability is, and if any point that amount changed, then we would have to reallocate, and SED limitations or stated law allows us to then reallocate that fund balance. Some stipulations require a voter approval, and others the board is able to make those allocations by itself. So once it's in the reserve account, it's there for a purpose, but it's not there indefinitely. You just have to have justification for moving it.
Plus, a perfect example, we put all the extra money in the one for the mall, and then we spent most of it. So it wasn't there anymore.
We didn't spend it.
Well, we don't have it anymore.
It was taken from us.
So I'm saying that could change also.
The other, I said there were two basic compound shape in two different ways. The other way,
a couple of years,
just is settling out an amount and apply directly to the tax rate, and that's what the chart is trying to show. If you pick the number, you could pick this number, and the tax rate would be anticipated to be this. Yes. You pick a bigger number, it's lower. You pick a smaller number, it's a little higher.
Is that what you think the recommendation before I put a thing aside? I would like one because we have no clue. I mean, you know, if you put too much in there, next time they're going to complain about that.
That's what I'm saying.
If you come up with a number, then we can discuss the number. Otherwise,
the same thing we're doing. That's good.
Otherwise, we'll discuss it this long just to get to the number, then we'll discuss
okay.
it again.
Bring it back.
Okay. I'm assuming that's everybody's okay to move forward.
Steve.
Is there any other, before I leave the category?
You need to set your public forum.
Well, we're not done yet. We still have other additional items.
I haven't
moved on the public forum
full of one yet.
All right, aren't you going to do a public forum on your budget? We haven't set the date time yet.
Yes. I just want to make sure we have one other question that I wanted for that. Is there any other part of the budget that anybody has a burning desire to relook at? Other than those two, that's the two items that I brought forward. But we're getting down there. If there's another part of the budget that you want,
I just have one quick question because something you said earlier. You said there could be more proposition than those two. How many more are there going to be?
You have your budget proposition. Your voting proposition. I just want to make
I thought there were other things like that. Okay, all right.
That's not the only two that I'm
right.
issuing. There's other. The next piece, which Joanne alluded to, is the presentations. We decided that we weren't going to have two. We were going to drop it down to one. What we need to do now is come up with that date for that one. Because we need to start advertising, putting that together.
Yeah,
super. Stole my line.
Yeah. Float some dates to us.
That's what you want. We can be very naturally
accessible. I don't know. Do you have 10 of them? I mean, I don't really care that one, but do you have ones that are preferable that are good for? Usually you give us recommendations.
The Board of Education is meeting on the 7th. School is out starting on the 10th of April, not back in session until the 20th. The board's meeting again on the 21st, with a regular board meeting. The budget will be adopted on the 21st.
So it's got to be. It should be before school's out, really.
Yeah. And we'll have to have it before,
Because if school's off the 10th, you said?
Yep. Yeah, they don't come back in session until the 20th.
So you'd want to do it because people travel.
The 8th?
Want to give them the opportunity to
maybe before the 9th sometime. Give them at least a day because some people are going to go early,
Yeah.
Wednesday or Thursday, 7:30.
State budget.
Some people are going to go. Nobody comes to the meeting. That's what you keep forgetting.
But the ones who do are
going to come. They're going to come. They're not traveling.
You're tracking the same trend you get after the 1st and before the 7th. You really think it's going to be ready?
It's supposed to happen by April 1st.
That's
only happened once in recent history.
What's the Wednesday, Thursday after the board meetings?
As long as it's not the same night as the board meeting, something.
No, I mean, either the night after Wednesday or Thursday.
I don't care.
Thursday night is the day before school's in session, not in session Friday. So I don't know if people are traveling on Thursday night.
Thursday's that would be a bad day. Wednesday's going to have to be a Wednesday.
It's going to be Wednesday night.
Wednesday. We're going to have to Wednesday.
Back to back, we'll be here.
Board meeting, then the time.
Do you want, he says do it the same night.
Yeah, our board meetings usually aren't this long.
We've done it before.
Well, okay, if we can have a shorter little board meeting, no presentations.
We start here at 6:15, at 7 o'clock, we adjourn, we go over there.
We do that for the annual meeting anyway.
Yeah.
We started earlier, George, at 6:15.
We can start earlier.
Start earlier and limit our presentations.
Nobody ask any questions.
I can limit.
You'll just start it earlier if we have a whole bunch of presentations.
You'd want to probably do the presentation at 7 o'clock, have the board meeting, and we could always break from the, adjourn from the meeting to do the presentation and come back.
Yes, it is.
We've done that before.
We have.
Too bad you didn't think about that.
We've done it both.
I mean, there's no really need to, if it's going to be a short meeting, you can still do the meeting at 6:15, have the public meeting at 7 in the auditorium, and just adjourn the meeting.
Go to the auditorium and
then come back and wrap up the meeting.
Time limit.
Does that sound okay with everyone?
What do you need, about an hour for the presentation?
Yeah, never take that.
And I'll just make sure that we don't have a whole lot of stuff on the agenda that we need to. It's like, there's things I can move, like the policies, I can move that right out to the next meeting. A lot of that stuff.
Do.
And I can work on it.
The policies that we're just voting on at the second readings, I don't think you need to move those.
Okay.
Well, avoid first readings. Avoid first readings.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's on April 7th at what time?
7.
In the auditorium?
In the auditorium.
And that would allow you to have your support staff here to.
Yeah.
Ask your questions.
Board meeting would be at the same time?
Yep. Do you want to start the board meeting at 6:15, or you want to start at 6?
6:15, why change it?
If we're going to clean off the meeting, we don't need to lower it. We could take off a lot of time consuming, so. Just make sure you can do it in 45 minutes. The whole thing.
Just a point of reference, the board dates in April is April 7th and April 21st. Due to the break of school, it's the first Tuesday and the third Tuesday, not the second, not the fourth.
Thank you for reminding me.
First and third.
Yep.
Well, if I get a packet, I know I got to read it real quick. Because I get it on Monday morning.
Okay, the next bullet is attendance at the annual meetings. Is anybody planning on going to the annual postings meeting?
I think I probably got to go.
Besides.
No.
No.
Believe me, they are very dry. Does anybody want to go to my place?
Just Richard?
Just Richard.
Yeah, but it's only, I got it.
Just Richard.
Yes, Jeff Richard.
The next vote, which is the vote on the tentative administrative, which of course does not fall on any of our board meetings, but is mandated that day. How do you want to handle it this year? In the past, we've met at.
In the AM?
We can do the same thing again. It worked out for me. Yeah.
Last time we met was 7:30. We just met, I think it was over the administration.
Yeah.
7:30 that morning, and whoever can make it.
What day of the week is it going to be?
For the.
Yeah, call it that.
What day of the week?
This would have been a good argument for teleconferencing.
What day of the week?
Is it Thursday?
I can't go at 7:30.
Do you have a form, and I don't think.
If I get 5 other people. I can make 6.
I'll be there.
Okay. Frank, will you make that?
I should be able to make it.
If I'm here, I'm not sure. It might be bad travel.
So you can make it?
No, not 7:30. I got to be at work at 7:30.
Well, I'll.
You're going to make sure I send out an email on Friday.
I could make 7, but I can't make 7:30.
I'll check again to make sure we have.
So. be AWOL. Oh, just a hint, if you're not going to vote for it, don't show up.
Under the next bullet, attendance at the Clinton County School Board's annual recognition dinner. That's for the top 10%.
I'll go.
I will be there to represent us.
I'll go.
I'll be there.
Hey, yeah, get it counted here so we can save enough space.
Steve said yes.
Yes, Kathleen.
Yes.
Dan Leonard. Said yes. Leonard said yes.
Yes.
Frank?
I usually don't.
Guy?
Yep.
Those cinnamon buns are so good.
Yeah, I see.
Okay, under the school meal prices. Board okay with those, with the change?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we acted on it in July, but just yes. Keeping it.
Yeah.
So I bring that forward. Yeah. Okay. That'll come forward as the motion down the road. Then I'll open the floor for any public comments. Yes.
Hi, how are you this evening? My name is Carrie Trombley, and I'm just here as a concerned parent tonight to address rumors about Sandra Gardner's tenuring. I know last year we spoke during the school board meeting and were told to not wait until the day of decision to come present to you our concerns, so that's what I'm trying to do here tonight. Through my research, I've uncovered that, if correct me if I'm wrong, that through the past 10 years, this school, the elementary school, has been through 4 principals, which would mean that some of our 5th graders have seen 3 principals go through since they've been in school. I just want you to make parents aware of the ongoings. As a school board, I feel it's best to have open communication with the community and the parents that are involved, and maybe have a night where people can come voice their concerns and ask questions, because I know we're not supposed to do that during public comment. And I'm encouraging you not to wait until May or June to have this decision open for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
I'm Ricky Marin. Each of you received a letter, should have, in the last couple weeks. So as you know, I'm greatly concerned about the communication between the school board and the parents, the public in general, actually not just the parents. Given your board policies under sections 1000 and 2000, I'm actually at this point requesting a reading of the proposed policy titled Relations with Parent Organizations.
Thank you. Anyone else like to think about public comment? Okay. Move back to the next piece, which is executive session.
I make a motion we appoint you as clerk pro tem.
Second.
What is the executive session for?
The executive session is for personnel. Discussion. And Richard making
Richard and
Kathleen.
Yes.
Okay. The motion to go into executive session?
So moved. Excuse me.
Got a vote on it.
Excuse me. Is that the motion? Is the motion to do clerk pro tem?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, Richard made, wait.
You didn't vote on it.
Richard made the motion, Kathleen seconded. No, you be appointed clerk pro tem.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't vote on it.
No. Is that Gary?
Aye. Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now Kathleen got a motion to go into executive session.
I'll second it.
And the purpose?
Chris.
And take a quick break.
Good.
Is that here?
Hold on, sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Once my wife gets my...